Okay, good morning. For the scripture reading today, you can remain seated. Okay, there's no problem. We'll turn to two passages in the Old Testament. Was that a good presentation? Nice, that was great. It was great to, it's great to hear testimonies from God's people and to see what God is doing. The first passage is 2 Chronicles. Pastor Brian is in Hyderabad doing a conference there. He'll be back tomorrow. Okay. I think they have a graduation also today. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Starting at verse 7. If you know where 2 Chronicles is. Instead of staring at my face. No, I'm just joking. If you don't have a Bible, you can look at your neighbor's Bible. If you don't have a Bible, get one from Gideon's. Okay, verse 7, 2 Chronicles 16, and starting at verse 7. And at that time, Hanani the seer, or the prophet, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because you have relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of your hand. Were not the Egyptians and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you did rely on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. But in this you have done foolishly. Therefore from henceforth you shall have wars. Okay. And another passage, 1 Kings chapter 15, 1 verse. 1 Kings chapter 15 and one verse, and that's verse 14. The high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord all his days. Chapter 15 and verse 14. The high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord all his days. Okay, let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we ask you that you would bless our time together. Thank you for the portions we heard this morning. Just bless the remainder of our time in Jesus' name. Amen. God has a purpose in mind. Okay, and this purpose that God has in mind is what we call an eternal purpose. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 11, it's an eternal purpose. Okay, and God puts a plan into operation in order to realize this purpose. God always puts a plan into operation in order to realize his purpose. This plan includes people. This plan includes God's people. This plan includes God's enemies. This plan includes sicknesses, weather, you name it, it's there. Governments, nations, and everything. But it's a privilege for God's people to be used by God in his plan. And great things get done. Great things get accomplished. But this is one point I want to make this morning. The plan of God always bears testimony to the grace of God. And we can never underestimate its value. People are used in the plan. God allows people in the plan. He allows even the failures of people in the plan. And the heart, in fact, the two verses we read about the heart of Asa. These things are all great. But what is it that the plan of God testifies to? The plan of God testifies or bears testimony to the grace of God. Think about this. The word of God says in Psalm 18, verse 30, His way is perfect. When we look at the word plan, the word way that is mentioned in the scripture is that which comes close. God has His way in the whirlwind and in the storm. Is that amazing? Nahum 1, verse 3. God has His way in the sea. Psalm 77, verse 19. Think about this. God, I don't get any more definition from this point on, but God has His way in the storm. God has His way. The word of God says in Isaiah 26 verse 9, when God's judgments are upon the earth, the inhabitants of the earth learn His righteousness. Is that amazing? And we are very aware of these things. We see the different kinds of judgment, cataclysmic events, this and that. And guess what? God allows that in His plan so that people in the world would learn about His righteousness. God makes a way in Psalm 78 verse 50. God makes a way for His anger. Isn't that amazing? God makes a way for His anger in dealing with the nations, especially if they choose to be ungodly. But I love this verse in Psalm 77 verse 13. God's way is in His sanctuary. Is that amazing? We come here every time we gather together, we congregate. We come in terms with God's way. His way is in the sanctuary. That's phenomenal. So though all these things are part of God's plan, the plan of God does bear testimony always to the grace of God. Transitions in the plan are sometimes that God allows so that we would be equipped by God for the calling. Never to question our calling. In Numbers chapter 11, verse 19 and 20, when the nation of Israel came out of the land of Egypt, and for a long time they were on a vegetarian diet, and they said, "This is not fair. Where is the alpha ham?" I don't know. They just lusted. It says in Psalm 106, they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness. And because they didn't get what they wanted, this is what they said. Why is it that we even came out of Egypt? They questioned their calling. Plan of God is never designed by God for us to make us comfortable. But it is designed by God in such a way to make us effective in it. I'll repeat that again. The plan that God has designed for us is never designed to make us too comfortable and convenient in it. And many times we fight that when there is a measure of inconvenience in the plan. But it is always designed for us to make us effective in it. Okay, now in the story of King Asa, in 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and 1 Kings chapter 15. He was a good king. He was a good king. He was a nice king. Okay, and he ruled for over 41 years in the land of Judah. That's a long time, right? Many of you are not even 41 years. But he ruled for 41 years and he died as an old man. He died as an old man. In the 36th year, so the word of God says, the Lord was with Asa, he had prosperity and he had rest because the Lord was with him. Amazing. In the 36th year, there was an invasion attempt by the northern kingdom of Israel. And Baasha, along with his allies, I don't know if he was alive that time, but nevertheless, through his influence, they set up a plan to kind of invade the kingdom of Judah. Now here is King Asa. He was helped by God in the battle against Ethiopians. God gave him a great deliverance. Great deliverance. They plundered the Ethiopians. And he has seen the hand of God. He has seen the leading of God. He has seen the blessing of God upon his life and upon the kingdom. And we would automatically presume, oh, he would again seek the Lord when he was faced with this challenge in the plan. But he didn't. He did something. He goes to the king of Syria and makes a league with the king of Syria so that the king of Syria would start attacking the northern kingdom of Israel, and so that they would be free from the attack of the northern kingdom. He seemingly accomplished his purpose. Remember? You know, he sought by the wrong foreign policy an objective which later became a real problem. He accomplished the objective when God was prepared to do for him what he did before, like if he just submitted to God in obedient faith, but he did not listen to God. He goes to the king of Syria, and the king of Syria makes that league, the Ben-Hadad, and he comes and he kind of creates problem for the northern kingdom. So Baasha stops building Rama, which was like a fortress that they were planning against, to be like that stronghold for an attack against Judah. He stops building it and he retreats back. Now, think about this. It looked like human cleverness, right? It looked like, oh, he was smart enough to avoid the problem. But God cared enough to send him a prophet. Goes to him and tells him, you know, listen, Asa, you had great life with God, but you've been foolish in this thing. Think about this. You've been foolish. Many times human cleverness, God shows it to be foolishness. And I'm coming to a very important point. And what is the point here? God will not allow human foolishness or human cleverness to continue long enough as to destroy God's purpose. Think about this. God interferes there. God does interfere. He gives time and space, but he does not allow human cleverness to continue long enough as to hinder or destroy the purpose of God. It may, for some amazing reason, God may allow a delay in his purpose, but he will not allow his purpose to be thwarted or to be destroyed. God interfered there. Isn't that amazing? It's phenomenal. You know, we are all believer priests. We are all believer priests. And God has given us a sense of authority. This authority is what we call exousia in the Greek. And this is what Satan does. He cannot take that authority away from us. He can never take that authority away from us. But he has a subtle way to approach the believer to misdirect that authority in a direction that is oriented to death. And when Hanani the seer, the prophet, came and spoke to him, it says, Asa got very angry with that man of God. God interferes. You know, think about this. The plan of God is bearing testimony to the grace of God, not to our cleverness. Not to our cleverness. You know, that is why the worst sin for a believer, you know, the worst enemy the believer has, is not Satan. It is not Satan. He is already a defeated enemy. Many of us, before we were saved, we were like scared, right? Looking at some pictures and then getting these crazy dreams in the night, like, my goodness, there's someone at the door or someone by the bedside or something of that sort. No. It's not that. We have gone past that. That's like KG class stuff. KG, you know. You know, the worst enemy for the believer is the sin of unbelief. The worst enemy for the believer is a sin of denial. If God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, realized a plan for the redemption of the world and took into account all our sins, past, present, and future, and has obtained an eternal redemption for us, then what is the big deal in just admitting to God that I misfired in the plan? But he wouldn't. And when believers don't do that, it becomes a form of delay and it becomes a form of discipline that he will have to face from God in the plan. But this is what God does. God is beyond our cleverness. God is beyond, and in fact, his human cleverness was defined by the man of God as, "You have done foolishly." So God does not allow human cleverness or human foolishness long enough as to hinder God's purpose. God had an amazing purpose for the kingdom of Judah. And what was the purpose? That through that kingdom, the Messiah would come. The northern kingdom did not promote that purpose. In fact, they went into captivity and they were cohabited by the Assyrians. Assyrians cohabited with them. But the kingdom of Judah, the southern kingdom, promoted the messianic purpose. And though the man acted in foolishness and cleverness or whatever, contrary to the purposes and the will of God, the beautiful thing is that his purpose would not be destroyed. What a testimony to the grace of God, isn't it? If we make everything in terms of our relationship with God to depend on us, we are in trouble. We are in serious trouble. Because you know why? We have an Olsen nature and we have no idea what we are capable of. Today you see me sharing the word. Tomorrow you may see me somewhere else. Next Sunday I could be sitting somewhere and sip. I don't know. But this, you know something? Thank God, though this could be true of us, though these frailties and cleverness and smartness and all these things could be true of us in how we can dodge our way to seemingly accomplish what we want in life, the plan of God that we are in is beyond us. And therefore the plan bears testimony not to our smartness but to his grace. It's phenomenal. Think about this. Okay, then we have another point, and I'll close soon because we had an amazing presentation. And that is in 2 Chronicles 16. There is a portion. In fact, 2 Chronicles chapters 14 and 15. But turn to 1 Kings 15, verse 4, 14. He says, Asa's heart was perfect. But later, what is said in 1 Kings 15? All his days. But God did say that you did something in a foolish way. Isn't it? 1 Kings 15, 14. There was something about this man Asa, though he had this weakness. You know, always note this, the heart of man plays a very important role in the plan of God. The heart of man plays a very important role in the plan of God. And we can never underestimate its importance. Whenever the will of man, and I'm sharing an important point here, whenever the will of man answers the desires of his heart, there is the realization of a purpose. Whenever the will of man answers the desire of his heart, there is always a realization of a purpose. And you look at the human history, you see whenever people come and they plan, they have something in their heart and then they put action to it, right? They act on it. There is always the formation of something that is constructive in nature. We've seen things being formed and gone and things like that. But this realization, this purpose that is realized by man in his personal life can either be good or bad. It can either be temporal or eternal. For the most part, it is not eternal. It doesn't align itself with the eternal purpose of God. So this is what God does. God discloses his will to man. And God is very, very, very faithful to do that. God discloses his will to man. And whenever the desires of the heart of man harmonizes itself with the will of God, Then when men act upon it, there is a realization of God's eternal purpose. Did you get that? It's a very important point we must keep in mind. Now, Asa had a heart like this. Asa had a heart. His desires were definitely in harmony with the will of God. His desires were really in harmony with the will of God. But his willpower to do things was not equal to the desires of his heart, and therefore his reforms were not that radical. His reforms were not that radical. In fact, it says the high places were still standing in verse 14. He wanted to do something for God. He loved God. He worshipped God. He wanted to follow God. And what he acted upon was not equal to the desires of his heart. Nevertheless, the desires of his heart were right with God because it was in harmony with the will of God. Because it was not on equal power, the reforms did not continue for that long and the high places were not removed. But the good thing is this, that Asa's desires were in harmony with the will of God. In fact, he went a long way when he removed his mother, Maacah, from being the queen. She was an idolater and he said, "Mama, no, step out." I feel he passed the relationship test. Maacah thought, "Oh, my little boy is sitting on the throne, right? So let me see what I can do on the side." And Asa said, "No, you cannot be the queen." And she was removed from being the queen because she was an idolater. He went a long way. He went a long way, but it says the high places were still standing. People sacrificed there. But the good news is that his heart was perfect with the Lord all his ways. So you see here a man of God whose desires of his heart are very much aligned to the will of God, but there are cracks. There are cracks here and there, and it is very evident. Reforms are not that permanent. There was still some form of idolatry going on in the land. All these issues were there. But because his heart was perfect toward the Lord, God could show himself strong toward him. In 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9. Now, I mean, we have our imperfections in our experience, but God is in the business of perfecting our heart toward him, though our will to execute the desires of the heart may have a lot of cracks and may have a lot of inconsistencies. You know, the influence of such a life is always a blessing and not a curse. Always remember that. So though Asa made these blunders and he was humanly speaking clever and proud towards the end of his life, the influence of his life always turned out to be a blessing for the kingdom of Judah. Isn't that amazing? What a testimony to the grace of God. Imperfect in his experience, but perfected by God in his heart and therefore made fruitful in the plan of God. Imperfect. He was not that perfect. He did something, but not that perfect. As far as the measure of it went, he always fell short. But his heart was perfected by God, and God could make him fruitful in the plan. And this had nothing to do with Asa. It simply had to do with the grace of God for Asa to be operational in the plan. And therefore, he was fruitful. Isn't that amazing? And there is a third way that the plan of God always bears testimony to the grace of God. And this really kind of touched me. You read the lives of these people and you just sometimes, almost you take the gun and you want to shoot them. But is God like that? God is not like that. God, in fulfilling his purpose, never abandons his people in their failures. May I repeat that again? God, in fulfilling his purposes, never abandons his people in their failures. Yeah, when they fail in the plan, God understands that. And God may bring a kind of a chastisement, but God never abandons his people in the fulfilling of his purposes. He is for them, In fact, in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, he made a very bad decision to join league with the king of Assyria. And he seemingly accomplished his objective. But you know what happened later on in the history of the kingdom of Judah? The Syrians became a very dangerous enemy to the kingdom of Judah. All because of Asa's behavior. Think about that. In verse 7, the seer said, if you had sought the Lord, you could have even subdued the Syrians. But now the host of Syria escaped out of the hand of Asa, and then they later turned out to be a very threatening foe or an enemy towards the fulfillment of God's plan for the kingdom of Judah. All because of Asa's failure. But you know something? God didn't abandon Asa. God sent the prophet Hanani to restore him. And what a testimony to the grace of God, isn't it? And these three things which I just mentioned is something that we need to keep constantly in the back of our mind. It is something that we need to rehearse if we need to understand what missions is all about. Missions is really, and I was so glad just the way the presentation, it's really the work of God. It is based on an eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then there is a plan that is operational that brings the realization of this eternal purpose. And guess what? God delights to use his people in the plan for the realization of his purpose. You know, imperfect in our experience. By the way, that is how we are all for the most part, right? Thank God for Asa as an example. We are like off and on most of the time. Imperfect in our experience. And God wishes to use such people in the plan. That is why it makes no sense living in personal denial when God makes things known to us, trying to fight it. Whom are we fighting? And it makes no sense to find faults with other people because we are all imperfect in our experience. But how about the process of being perfected by God in our hearts so that we can be fruitful in the plan? This fruitfulness of you and me in the plan becomes an amazing testimony, not to our accomplishments, but it becomes an amazing testimony to the grace of God who made that thing come to pass. So isn't that amazing? God, yeah, maybe for some reason the purpose of God can be, there can be a divine delay, but those delays are not his denials. But he does not allow human cleverness or foolishness to continue long enough to take charge as to destroy his purpose. No, God would not let that. Because, and that is, becomes a testimony. And the plan of God, therefore, is not bearing witness to how smart and cute I am. No. It's bearing witness or bearing testimony to the grace of God. Secondly, the very fact that you and I would be made perfect in terms of being perfected in the heart and fruitful in the plan of God bears testimony to the grace of God. And thirdly, God, in fulfilling his purpose, though we may have failures in the plan as we are God's people, God does not abandon us in fulfilling of his purpose, but rather has an amazing way by which he restores us in the plan. He restores us in the plan so that the plan of God can amazingly bear testimony to the grace of God. This is the key. If our country needs to be evangelized, and as Brother Prabhakar beautifully said, we need tools, but we also need people. We need tools. We need the word. We need everything that is necessary, finances and everything, but we also need missionaries. And for a person to be brought into this incredible understanding of God's eternal purpose for their lives, they must recognize that it's because of the grace of God that we continue, and it's because of the grace of God that we don't quit. I'll repeat that. It's because of the grace of God that we don't quit when there are failures in the plan, and it's because of the grace of God that we begin to bear fruit in the plan of God. We are perfect positionally, but very imperfect in our experience. But God is in the business of perfecting our heart. And look at that verse one more time in 2 Chronicles 16:9. The eyes of the Lord scans the whole earth and he is waiting to show himself strong. To whom? To those people whose hearts are perfect. And this perfection of the heart has nothing to do with the perfection in our behavior or our doings. It simply has to do with the desires of the heart harmonizing itself with the disclosed will of God, so that when the will of man acts, it brings glory to God and it bears fruit in the plant. Amen. Thank God for the grace of, thank God for his eternal purpose. It can never be thwarted by anything. There could be delays, some divine delays, but God will bring his purpose to pass. And the way God brings his purpose to pass is by putting a plan into operation. And then God comes and whispers in our ears, you are part of that plan. And we say, God, I can't speak, blah, blah, blah. You know, I have a problem. I have an impediment with my speech. God says, you are part of the plan. Then I say, no, God, use my brother. He can speak well and he can sing well. God says, no, you are part of the plan. And finally I say, God, why don't you use someone else? God says, no, you are the person and you and I are part of the plan. Many times in Exodus chapter 3, you see Moses is asking questions to God. And God is not answering his questions. Did you notice that? Because sometimes God, for the most part, is not interested in answering our questions that are irrelevant to our calling. The only time God answered his question. So God said, Moses asked God, God, who am I that I should go? God says, I will send you. It's like, what? What an answer. Wrong ABD answer. Wrong question. Correct question, but wrong answer. Who am I that I should go? I have these problems. God says, I am going to send you to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. One answer God gave him was when he asked God, who are you and what is it that I should tell the people when they ask who sent you? Then God said, I am that I am. Go tell them. This is really how the plan of God unfolds for each one of us. And guess what? Sicknesses, troubles, failures, human cleverness. Do you know Mr. Jacob in the Bible? Is he like sound? Sometimes my God, do I fit in him in his shoes? Like, you know, human cleverness, human scheming, human smartness, human failures, human success, human accomplishments, human boastings, human pride. None of these things in any way can ever come in the way to destroy the plan of God. But rather, plan of God will take into account all these things so that it will bear eventually testimony to the grace of God in our lives. Amen? So let's pray. Father, we ask you that you would speak to us. You would speak to us through your word. And you would show yourself strong toward us as you are in the business of perfecting a heart toward you. Though the will of man falls short of the desires of his heart, Lord, we want to be in this place of not perfection per se in terms of a work done, but perfection in terms of heart being aligned to your will. And there we see fruitfulness and the glory goes to the grace of God. We just pray you would bless these thoughts to our hearts in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.